Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Iran. The suspect nuclear weapons program in Iran dominates the conversation between the Biden administration and the regime in Tehran. However, an incident in Tehran now has the supreme leader making threats one more time. I'm joined by my colleague Thaddeus McCotter of American Greatness, and our informant is Malcolm Holand of the Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. Thaddeus?
Malcolm, there's an assassination in Iran. What are the ramifications and who was it?
So we still don't know who, nobody took credit for it, so we don't know exactly who did it, but the Iranian government said it's global arrogance, which is usually a reference to the United States and its friends, including Israel. Well, the incident was a Revolutionary Guard colonel who was in his car getting out. A gunman on a motorbike drove up past him, past his car, opened fire. He was one of the most powerful of the Revolutionary Guard. This was right outside his home, and the he is linked to all sorts of plots to kill people abroad. Remember, we recently reported about Israel getting into Tehran, being able to question somebody who gave them information, which now some are saying is linked to this Colonel Hassan Sayyad Khodayari, who was shot 5 times in interestingly, an unarmed car that he had. He was defined as a defender of the shrine, which is a reference to fighters against Islamic State in Syria and Iraq from the IRGC's Quds Force that oversees foreign operations. And it is believed that he was behind attacks on diplomats, American and Israeli targets, Jewish targets around the world, and that he had been in the middle of planning some additional attacks, including against American troops in Syria, and Iraq has been one of the among the concerns that have been raised. So this is a very important elimination, especially that it occurred in broad daylight in the heart of Iran's capital in Tehran. Again, pointing up to the breakdown of their intelligence operations, their security, and it was followed almost instantly by an announcement by the Iranian news agency that members of an Israeli intelligence network exposed by the Revolutionary Guard, but not connected to this assassination. They're just saying these were people who were attempting to steal and destroy public and property and kidnapping, et cetera, which seems to be a cover to try and, at least in public opinion, say that they are operating and effective. The fact is that these kind of incidents have taken place and eliminating people who are in the midst of the very dangerous activities.
Soleimani, Qassem Soleimani is dead, or is he? Malcolm, I learn that Qassem Soleimani has a relative, a son-in-law, who is a bad actor. Where?
He's a bad actor from Iran, but active in Lebanon, and he's been identified. Now, he actually is the son of Sayyid Hashem Safi al-Din, who's the head of the Hezbollah's executive council, who's supposedly helping his son and has been pushing him, exploiting his position in the infrastructure of Lebanon to help his son transfer strategic weapons from Damascus to Lebanon. And they were using private planes, which people in Lebanon said, you know, puts them all in danger, because obviously there's going to be strikes against these kind of shipments. And the people in Lebanon are consistently calling for change. The State Department spokesperson actually highlighted this, that it's time for the political leaders to heed the people's call and to stop these kind of actions and having a government that can actually exercise control, capable and committed to doing the work to restore the control. So this guy Sayyid Reza Hashim Safi al-Din, married to Soleimani's daughter, who was the former commander of the IRGC, killed by a U.S. drone strike in Baghdad in January 20, was running this and had the support of the Revolutionary Guard in bringing these weapons into Lebanon. And this being identified publicly is very interesting, and coming at a time when we see the breakdown in the alliances, and especially amongst the Christian parties following the election, where Hezbollah's position was weakened greatly. So was its main Christian ally, and some of the most infamous proteges, as they say. In a very dramatic statement, the head of the Lebanese Christian party, Samir Gyanja, made a really bold calls for Hezbollah's grip on the country to end, and talked about them hijacking the sovereignty. They have close relations with Saudi Arabia. They got 18 seats in the last election, but together with some of the other parties now, at least 13 independent lawmakers who came from the anti-protest movements, others could form a majority, could form a challenge to the re-election of Nabil Berri, who has been the speaker of the parliament since 1992. They're calling for to chart a new course. And once doesn't want a government of national unity, they want a government that will really be effective and not be just a front for Hezbollah. So on all of these counts, we're seeing the situation in Lebanon very destabilized. And Hezbollah obviously was the only militia that didn't disarm after the Lebanon civil war. And now the calls are for Lebanon, for Hezbollah to be again put under the Lebanese army and let them be the dominant force.
The bad actors are also in Amman, and the bad actors are in Red Sea. What can you tell us?
So in the Red Sea, we are seeing that the IRGC is expanding its presence there, that the Navy, IRGC Navy, not the Iranian Army Navy, maintains a covert presence through an array of ships, which they gather intelligence and act as forward bases. And this is coming from information from Michael Seale, who we've had on the show and has been studying this. He talks about after the attack on the Sabiz, which was described in the media as an IRGC forward ship collection, intelligent collection ship that operated off the Eritrean coast. And after it was somehow hit by foreign fire, they are building sea-based abilities to launch UAVs and can reach Israel and the other countries in the Gulf. And this, to adding to this, they're deploying the small submarines for laying mines. And this is part of a new doctrine that they are developing to be able to strike in time of conflict, or to expedite the harassment that they have been engaged in all along.
Malcolm, one more detail. I learned from Ahmad Obale, who broadcast from Chicago into Iran, especially to the northwest, dominated by the Azeris, that the protests that you mentioned last week at the stadium in Tabriz were massive. I've seen the videos. Massive. Nobody covering their faces. All chanting liberty and down with Tehran. These are young people, Malcolm. And the authorities there tried to intimidate them from going to the stadium. It was a soccer game. They were enjoying it. But they chanting, and they had banners cheering on the people who were protesting. Malcolm, they weren't afraid of the besieging.
They are not afraid. In 19 of the 31 provinces, demonstrations are growing, and they will grow more. Iran is in a very desperate internal situation, an economic crisis. And you know that they have abolished the subsidies on essential items like bread, medicines, and other products. And within a few days of doing so, the prices rose tenfold. And this coming at a time when the currency is worth virtually nothing. And it means that it led to panic buying of bread and other things. And now there are shortages in several of the provinces and increasing numbers of them. And they're saying that with the cutoff of wheat and the shortage globally, the Afghan refugees now living in Iran will not be able to get bread because it's only being sold to people who have an Iranian identity card. And the protests are contained somewhat, And they're trying to avoid casualties because they know that that could trigger even bigger demonstrations. But this is not going to go away. This is something that is going to, I believe, expand increasingly.
That is.
Malcolm, there was an assassination as well down in South America in Colombia. A Paraguayan prosecutor, I believe. Who was behind this and why?
And this is it's really a whodunit that our friend Emmanuel Otolenghi actually has been writing about. It was a criminal prosecutor in Paraguay, Marcela Pecci, who made many enemies in his effort over years to protect the rule of law. And one of them was Hezbollah. And it seems that he was on at a beach resort in Colombia and posted online that his wife was expecting. And they were sitting there on the beach when somebody, two guys, come up on a jet ski, shoot him first in the mouth as a message, and kill him in front of his bride, get back on their jet ski, go back. This whole thing took 19 minutes from the time they chartered, they rented the jet ski to the time they dropped it off. And before the police or anybody could do anything, they were long gone. Paraguay is a key transit place for cocaine. The corruption there, as you know, is ranked throughout all of the aspects of government. And he was obviously somebody who was very clean. He was a rising star. He was considered a contender to be next attorney general. And he put many people behind bars. He was known for being incorruptible. And unlike others, he was standing against it and made him a likely target. But one of those who's engaged in all of the illicit activities is Hezbollah. And many people believe that the assassination was ordered by them.
We go to the West Bank, Malcolm. By Bayrezat University is held an election. Now, I don't understand the frame here. This is a university election. How does it touch upon the dispute between Hamas and the Palestinian Authority?
So that's a good question, because we're not used to anybody noticing what the results are of student government elections in America. In the West Bank and amongst the Palestinians, this is seen as a bellwether of the political situation and the trends, because, you know, they haven't had any elections since 2005. That was the last legislative election. And the Fatah lost very badly to, I think it was 28-15 in the election. And it will discourage them from organizing any kind of an election now, knowing that that's what the mood of the people is. This is it received the lowest number of votes and seats since the election started, I think, in 1996, certainly in the mid-90s. And Bayrezat is seen as a bellwether of the directions. And leaders of Fatah came out and said, look, we can't continue in this way. It's time for courageous leadership, which means getting rid of our friend, Mr. Abbas. And the given the bloc led by Hamas winning as they did would send chills up the backs of any of the politicians who would think of running in a parliamentary election in the PA.
And also, Malcolm, the new Taylor Force Act. What is the Taylor Force Act?
Taylor Force was a Marine who was killed walking the streets of Tel Aviv by terrorists. This is a very important additional law. It's a bipartisan Taylor Force Martyr Payment Prevention Act, really targeted at the pay-to-slay of the Palestinian Authority, where they continue to reward and pay people who engage in terrorist attacks, even though under the legislation we're supposed to hold back all the money from them, or that portion of the money that they pay out, which comes to hundreds of millions of dollars a year that they pay to terrorists who carry out the acts. And if they're killed, to their families, they build houses, they give them lifetime pensions and payments, which are triple or quadruple what the average Palestinian would make or Palestinian policeman would make. And if the banks are used to facilitate or promote payments to terrorists, or if a bank knowingly provides financial assistance, they would come under sanction, and it would give the Treasury additional authority to designate these foreign banks as institution of primary money laundering concern. So this is an additional step to strengthen the hand of those who act against this horrendous effort to legitimate the payment to terrorists as the PA has done consistently. And we hope that the financial institutions who flout the anti-terrorism financial regulations will now be held to account.
Malcolm Holine, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, Thaddeus McCotter, American Greatness. When we come back, the Dusty One, Indiana Holine himself. I'm John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a premium interior paint and primer in one with a tough, lasting formula. It provides great scrub resistance and durability with remarkable hide and a smooth finish. Save big on Dutch Boy's DuraFighter paint at Menards and start your next project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save.